What's up, class? This is Optimus Fields at My Living Truth, and we're back for another episode. If I remember correctly, guys, I think this is episode 69. So shouts out to all you guys. We're at block height 673,063, and the current price of Bitcoin is 51,312. So wow, Nick. We're back for another one, dude. Christopher, we're back. We made it.
So much happened this week. It's actually ridiculous. And I was just thinking about some even more stuff that went on, like, since we met last night to discuss the topics for tonight. And it's just such a bullish week. And I'm really excited to see what everyone's thoughts are on the topics we have.
Awesome. Well, you want to bring one of those new ones up, or should I just start into the list that we got?
You wanted the list.
All right. Well, the first thing I have on the list was actually brought up by Christopher at the very end of last week's show, and he said that we should probably give you guys a PSA to take your coins off the exchange. So, Christopher, do you want to give us some pre-context of this, or should we just go in?
Sure, yeah. A good friend of mine has been stacking sats on Cash App, as I suggested, and there's lots of you can stack sats at a whole bunch of different exchanges. However, Cash App in particular has a kind of low withdrawal limit. So say you're like stacking sats, you're buying Bitcoin, but then when you go to withdraw those and like hold your own keys, like as is recommended, you might not be able to because the value of those Bitcoin have increased so much, and the actual withdrawal limit is denominated in dollars instead of Bitcoin. So if you... say you stacked quite a bit and you're actually limited to, I think it's $5,000 per week of withdrawals. And that's getting some folks into some trouble because you don't want to leave your coins on exchange. Definitely make a habit of taking those off.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we should just hit them with the meme, right? Not your keys, not your Bitcoin. So... That's usually what Bitcoiners mean when they say that, is take your Bitcoins off the exchange, because if you're not holding your keys, then you can get your Bitcoin stolen, and we have historical reference for that. So if you guys are new and you're unfamiliar with MT Gox, you do not want to get Gox. Mm-hmm. You do not want to use an exchange as a wallet. So we definitely recommend taking your Bitcoin off an exchange as soon as possible, or maybe not as soon as possible, because like most of us here, we are Bitcoin plebs, and we're not buying big old chunks of Bitcoin. So you may want to give yourself some kind of internal threshold where after, I don't know, a certain amount of Bitcoin, you can take it off the exchange. And like Christopher said, yeah, Cash App has arbitrary dollar amount limit. So as the price goes up, it may become harder for you to take your Bitcoin off those exchanges. So it's just something to think about. But does anyone want to give a little rant about it?
I'm curious to know. Go ahead.
Well, if you have a question, shoot it.
Yeah, I mean, like all mine is in cold storage, but I'm curious to know, like, what do people actually think is going to happen? Because, like, I know Cash App has the withdrawal limits, but on like a Kraken, or I mean, I've had my Coinbase account frozen for like 5 weeks for no reason. But I'm curious to know if anyone thinks, like, on a Kraken, they would just permanently freeze it, or on river or one of those. If something like that is coming soon, and if so, why?
Not necessarily the exchanges. It's more the government. If they 6102, if they decide to 6102 some bitcoins, they're going to go right for the exchanges first.
There have been companies that have been totally irresponsible too, and we know what that's like.
Yeah, I think those are both of the concerns that if you leave your coin on the exchange for too long, then potentially the company will be forced by some third party, some government official, to essentially stop your withdrawals to your personal wallets. And like Spitfire said, that some companies have been really irresponsible, and so they won't actually have the coins that you think you have on the exchanges. And we have yet to see whether some of these companies are rehypothecating your bitcoins, hence why we're so adamant on take your coin off the exchange, because if they don't have the claim to your bitcoins, then they can't, have multiple claims to that bitcoin. And that's one of the top fundamentals of Bitcoin, is that it's a lot easier to secure than, say, gold. And we don't want to get into a scenario where the majority of people think they have Bitcoins, but they really only have an IOU to their Bitcoin on some third party ledger. So that's usually what I think about it, but I'm not sure if there's some more concerns that people might be able to bring up. CB, I know you were trying to jump in, so.
Yeah, I was gonna say that I may or may not know someone who hit certain withdrawal limits in 2017. And I would just, to anyone who has, I know we can talk about self-custody and never selling, but some people do want to spend money for cool shit, at top of a cycle or however you view this. Some people want money to buy a house or something. And so how do you do that? Well, look at your withdrawal limits. If you can kind of predict what you think, Bitcoin could go up to. So imagine now you have that many dollars on an exchange and how much you want to turn into actual Bitcoin. So review that. Think about mechanically how you are going to sell for dollars. I know some people might want to do that. Think about how you're going to do that, and then make sure your withdrawal limits are okay. And remember that exchanges are, if they're US based, they are beholden to whatever, jurisdiction they're in. So if it gets complicated about how the exchange sees you, or your government sees you, then you should be mindful of that too. A lot of people think, oh yeah, I could totally just do that now. I got $4,999 on Cash App, but when Bitcoin's at 500K, now you've got 20 grand or something, or 50 grand. And how do you get that off? I mean, you can send it in Bitcoin, but to turn it into other things today, you either have to find someone who accepts Bitcoin, which is challenging, or you have to convert it to cash somehow, which is also challenging. Just think, a year ahead. Think about what the price of Bitcoin could be, and how you might respond to that situation.
Do you think there will be like a weird in-between phase where millions of people think they have Bitcoin and actually just have no Bitcoin?
Totally. I
Yeah.
can't tell you when or what that'll look like, but I know I would place major bets on there being at least one reputable American entity which does not actually hold as much Bitcoin as they say they do.
Yeah, I'd agree with
Does it
CB
rhyme
here.
with clock fly?
Savage. Henry, yeah, there's two points that I want to make from what CB said, but first, Henry, there's a really good post by Hal Finney where he talks about how in the future there will be fully reserved Bitcoin banks, and then there will be Bitcoin banks that try to work off fractional reserve. And so it's definitely been game theory that in the future, or even maybe currently, that there are some banks that will try to fractional reserve their bitcoins, and some people will get wrecked, and that's just part of the free market, and people will learn better practices and hopefully and most likely avoid those fractional reserve banks, because, you know, that's the beauty of Bitcoin. It's a bearer asset, and whoever holds the keys, that's their Bitcoin. It's like the old saying, you know, possessions is 9/10 of the law, but in Bitcoin, possessions is 10/10 of the law. It's everything, you know. So I definitely believe that there will be that scenario into the future. And then just one more point that CB was talking about selling, and it popped in my head the Unchained Capital motto that friends don't let friends sell Bitcoin. So if you really are planning to sell your Bitcoin, maybe consider, you know, taking out a loan with Unchained and you know, get some fiat from them. And if you just, you know, so happen to not pay back your loan and you really don't care, then you'll lose those Bitcoins, but at least you have that option. So there's definitely a lot of options out there for you if you are wanting to use your Bitcoins to live a better life. So definitely agree with CB.
I can ask you a question on that.
So wait, real quick though. I mean, I've had it in cold storage for a while, but I was wondering, like, because my buddy has a ton of Bitcoin on an exchange, and I was wondering if they stopped withdrawals. It seems like it would go not even the direction of them stopping withdrawals. They would just give you dollars. And there would be that in-between period where they say, instead of like, oh, you can't take this Bitcoin off the exchange, they're just like, here's the money, that's it. Because they would just realize, I mean, I would hope at least, that people would realize immediately like, oh, this isn't even Bitcoin. This is just money. Like, how long could they really just hold, quote, hold the Bitcoin on an exchange?
I mean, that's definitely something that's possible for them to do. They'll just like have a forced sell-off moment where they're like, oh, you own this much Bitcoin, we'll pay you this quote-unquote fair market price for your Bitcoins, and you really don't have a choice in it. Here's the dollars that were yours, and then there'll be tax and all that good stuff. So yeah, that's also a possibility, and that's something that might happen. So, you know, that's kind of why we tell people to take their coin off exchanges as quickly as they can, so that they're never forced to do something that they don't want to do.
Right.
Yeah, I posted this in the chat, but I will shout out nickcarter.info. That's Nick Carter's website, where one of the things he has on there is a page promoting proof of reserves. That is, companies and exchanges or entities that can prove through a variety of methods that they do in fact hold the Bitcoin they say they do. I think we should strongly incentivize that. And I will just say, you know, we spend a lot of time shitting on banks here, but it has been since the early days on Bitcoin talk. Bitcoiners and people in the space have theorized about the idea of Bitcoin banks. And it's not to say that we will differentiate that, because, you know, when we talk about a bank, we talk about an entity that secures your money. And there is real utility for that. But they're talking about something that looks different than the banks of today. A bank that is incentivized to work for it, the people who custodian money with it. So we should incentivize healthy ecosystem growth. And we should say, if you're a company that has proof of reserves, we're going to encourage that. That is a good thing. If you're CoinFloor, BitBuy, Gate.io, we like what you're doing. We want you to continue to prove that you do have this money.
I'd agree with that. I think we interchange the word banks when we're really talking about central banks. So I think that's a good distinction, CB.
There you go. Two questions. Is there a minimum coin size that you would want to like withdraw? Like never withdraw anything like, I don't know, less than like 100,000 sats or something, just because of how much the transaction fees would be later with moving that around. Like, has anyone thought like or developed like an opinion on that?
I think there are opinions on that, and someone correct me, but I think it's kind of based off of your own point of view and your perspective. From like, the real limit, in my opinion, is just like the dust level. You just, you know, you don't want to be sending, I think it's like 547 sats off exchanges, because then it's just considered dust. But I think it also depends on what you want to do after you withdraw it from the exchange. So, like, if you're doing 100,000 sats withdrawals, then you have to consider what you're going to do after and if you're going to consolidate all those UTXOs. And if you have a whole bunch of 100,000 sat UTXOs, then your consolidation fees are going to be pretty big. So, like, maybe like 1 million sats, 500,000 sats. I don't know. Jim, I see you unmuted yourself. Do you have an idea on this?
I was going to add more or less say about what you said. It's a personal choice. It's like, you want to decide what you want to do with your own money, how much of it you want in your own pocket, your own wallet, your own checking account, your own savings account. You move it around based on your tolerances, your need, your risk, risk profile, that kind of thing. I did want to elaborate also going way back to withdrawals from Cash App specifically. The Cash App withdrawal procedure, it's a two-tiered thing. It was mentioned that there's a limit $5,000 per week in Satoshis. So as the price goes up, you do get less Satoshis for that same withdrawal, but you can't even do it in a single 5,000. You have to do it in no more than 2,000 a day, which takes 3 days, 2,000, 2,000, and 1,000. And then unfortunately, what happens is you've used up 3 days in a week, and now your week doesn't reset for 7 more days. So you lose more than a week every time you try to take out 5,000. You would think it would roll over itself, but it doesn't happen accurately. I've tried. I ended up with too much on Cash App, and I was stressing over getting it off. It took me a couple weeks because of the limit. And then a friend of mine who was buying as fast as he could before the price really ran up found himself in a position with almost 2 Bitcoin on Cash App, and he still hasn't gotten all of it off yet because it's going to take him more than 10 weeks. And you don't want to find yourself in a position where it takes you 10 weeks to take possession of your Bitcoin because you left too much of it on a platform that only lets you take it off very slowly. So that just, a little more information for anybody who might want to use Cash App. And adding to what Optimus was saying, you really don't want to leave any on there. Ultimately, the whole point of this is to bear instrument, and you want control of it. So you should, other than dust, which is a tiny amount and almost not worth moving. And then the other thing, I forget who might have been CV just said something about oh, what was he saying about the withdrawals? Oh shoot, now I lost my train of thought. I forget. So I apologize. Just you don't want to leave it in other people's custody. That's the whole point of Bitcoin. Get it into your own hardware wallet as soon as you can, is my advice.
Yeah, I think that's the common motto. I see someone unmuting themselves, but I just wanted to add one thing. Just one sec. Antonio, another thing that you might want to consider is the fee prices. So, like, if you have small UTXOs and you're moving them around out of Cash App, you don't really have to worry about the fees. But on other exchanges, then you might have to consider the fee prices. So there's just a bunch of stuff to consider. But yeah, shoot your question.
That was the thing. So,
Oh.
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that was what I wanted to interject. On Cash App, they cover the fees. Same with Swan. When you set up your withdrawals on Swan, when it comes to you don't see the fee. So the amount you're withdrawing is irrelevant in that regard, whether it's a small amount. But what you said earlier about combining them later, when you go to spend, you do have to combine UTXOs, and you potentially make bigger transactions, although no signatures might help that once that comes in. The other thing too is you could consider withdrawing to multiple different wallets to keep your Bitcoin separated and create a little what's the word? I don't know if it's obfuscation, but if you're putting all your Bitcoins in one place, you are linking them all together. Even if you use different addresses, if you use the same Xpub, for example, withdrawing from Swan, they do an automatic system where what you do is you give them an XPub and they generate the addresses and you confirm every address before you let them send it. But they now know that every withdrawal that they send to, all those addresses are yours, even though they're all different. And so this is where a government entity can subpoena their records, query the blockchain, and know how much Bitcoin you at least got from them, no matter how many different addresses you sent it to. So you maybe would not want to combine those withdrawals. Let's just say you have two accounts, one from Cash App and one from Swan. So maybe you take all your Swan withdrawals to one hardware wallet and your Cash App withdrawals to a completely different one. And at least they're not being mixed with each other. There's a whole bunch of information out there about CoinJoin, different techniques, different ways that you can combine your Bitcoins, mix them with other people, and get back what would amount to untraced Bitcoin and break the connection between you and the actual Bitcoin so that the government agency can't make an argument that you have X amount of Bitcoin and here's how we know. So it gets into a little bit deeper stuff, but this is all about managing your money and being in control of it and not having anybody else know how much you have or where it is. So it all ties together.
Cool. Beautiful. Thanks, guys. And one follow-up question to what was mentioned earlier. If I understood you correctly, did you say that like if you take out a loan with Unchained and default on it, that's not a taxable event?
As far as I know, I'm pretty sure, but I could be wrong. I know that if you default, they take your Bitcoins, and I'm pretty sure that wouldn't be a taxable event, but I don't know. I'd have to.
There was another non-taxable event. It was if you held it for a certain period of time. I don't know the specifics, but maybe someone else does.
We'll have to go read the fine print. Shishi, if I said that correctly. You still got a question?
Yeah. My internet cut out. So can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, so I don't know how much you guys heard because I was like kind of talking and then my internet kicked me off. But thanks for the presentation. Everything was awesome. And I just think one thing we didn't touch upon was the fact that Bitcoin just flips the gold custody model on its head. And basically, it used to be safer to not custody your gold because no one could compel you to, you know, send it to their wallet or whatever. And so obviously with Bitcoin, holding it on exchange, it's the most lethal. If someone points a gun to your head, for example, you know, it's much easier to, you know, you take your control of your phone, make you type in your password, you have your two-factor. So it's just much easier. If you have a 25th word or, you know, if you have that sort of dummy key, I think that's just some things that are just so attractive to hodl your own Bitcoins.
Beautiful, Sushi. I think that's a great point.
Actually, to kind of tie those two things together, one thing that I've been kind of concerned about is as these, you know, exchanges or these different platforms come out with rewards for you keeping your Bitcoin on their platform, like that sets us up for kind of like a 6102 event where we've got centralized control of those Bitcoin, and so they could be confiscated, and so that would make Bitcoin as a system a whole lot weaker if significant, you know, value is able to be confiscated by just targeting a few different platforms, you know, from some government entity or even a hack.
Yeah, a lot of people, this is a really good conversation. 6102 was a voluntary event. You are compelled to bring your gold to the government. If in a world where most of the Bitcoin is held on U.S. regulated exchanges, the government already can seize that. You can find that your Bitcoin is no longer accessible to withdraw, and the government's like, oh yeah, we just 6103'd that shit. It's not like you'll have an opportunity to voluntarily give it up, or at least that's a potential thing.
Beautiful. I did see in the chat that Viking sent us a question. regarding this conversation. So scrolling up right now. 1 second. He goes, regarding fees, how do you think it will play out? Will the fees go down, and then, or will we all leverage the Lightning Network in a way where it takes the traffic off the main layer? Are you guys waiting to transfer in general, or just adjusting up the fees in RBF? Well, I think Viking, I think you're, you know, I think we're all trying to figure this out at the moment. I'm sure Jestifer will have his angle about everyone should be using the Lightning Network. But let's be honest, Bitcoiners don't use Bitcoin, dude. So we don't worry about fees. No, I'm just joking. I think you just kind of maybe keep an eye on the mempool and see when's a, you know, good time to send some Bitcoin, or, you know, just try to shoot as low a fee as possible. Maybe, you know, try to get a sat or two sats, three sats, four sats across the network, and hopefully it works. And if you just have a low time preference, then you can kind of see what works and, you know, play with your UTXOs. But I don't know. Christopher, Viking, I see you unmuted yourself.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks, man. And I was just wondering if you're really still sending one set transactions, because I have been waiting like 3 days, like 4 weeks ago, and it was like over 2 months ago, and it was like way too long, you know? So,
Credit's fury.
I'm pretty sure that, you know, one set per byte transactions are done. And actually, a kind of a question that I had was the kind of that dust limit that we referenced before, where you like don't want to send an amount, you know, I think you said 547 sats, where you don't want to send an amount below that, because, you know, you wouldn't be able to like actually send that transaction anywhere, profitably or without sacrificing all that value. So I'm kind of wondering, like, with the mempool heating up and the demand for all of this block space heating up, like whether that dust limit is actually going to increase. This might be a bit more technical.
Is the question, will the dust limit increase?
Yeah, will the dust limit increase if it becomes more expensive to get into the blockchain?
This might be a little above my pay grade, but
I saw an interesting stat that doesn't really answer directly, but it was super interesting. It was that like an average Visa payment is like $50 settled on their network, and the average Bitcoin transaction is 15,000. So, you know, Bitcoin might not be for micropayments, right? At least not for now, to Lightning.
Well, the base layer probably isn't for micropayments. But I'd have to get back to that, but I want to say that the dust limit could be increased, but I think it's just more of a concern of that the dollar value will increase. So, you know, people that don't make too much money, it might be a concern to them if they're trying to move around, you know, a couple hundred sats on base layer. But
right,
you know, you're the Lightning expert, so I was hoping you're gonna say everything moves up a couple layers.
Yeah, and I think that's right, because with the Lightning Network, you know, we're able to kind of send a transaction in advance of needing it. And I think most of us can understand that, you know, Bitcoin's adoption will grow and the demand for that block space will grow with it. And so, like, why not create a transaction right now on chain to set up a Lightning channel so that when it comes time for you to actually make a payment, it will only cost a couple of sats, or it might actually be already paid for to send a Lightning Network transaction using the transaction that you send, you know, today to set up a channel. So really, we're just setting up the infrastructure ahead of time, because we know in the future, like, we're gonna want to send Bitcoin and you know, make a purchase or whatever it is. And over time, those, like, as the Bitcoin price goes up, the value that could be transacted in that channel will also go up.
Beautiful. I love it. All right, guys. So we kind of went really ham on this one. That honestly, just for I thought that one was gonna be like a little quickie, but yeah, that was a good one. I think pure signal on that one, right?
We went into depth. I'm really happy with that conversation. It's awesome.
Awesome. All right. Well, let me see what else we got on this list, guys, so we can keep this going a little bit. I guess we'll talk about the institutional money, because I mean, it's been the meme for a long time. You know, the institutions are coming. The institutions are coming, and now they're here. Like it's not a meme anymore. It's not fake news. They're actively here. They're actively stacking sats, and so I think we said it last week. Like, if you're selling your Bitcoin right now, you're selling it to an institution. Because there's a lot of them buying. And Nico's not here anymore, but he was telling us some bullish stuff before we started recording. And so if he's right, there's going to be some big names buying some Bitcoin coming up in a few weeks. And you don't want to be selling them Bitcoins. And Nick, I know you wanted to talk a little bit on all this institutional money coming in. So you want to add a few sats onto this?
I saw... some reputable Twitter account, I forgot who, but they tweeted that Kathy Wood said that in the next coming weeks, some big names will be buying Bitcoin and more people will be adding Bitcoin to their sheet. But it's really fascinating to me that once MicroStrategy became like the first domino, like everyone else has to buy to compete with them, like everyone else, like it just starts a huge domino effect where like everyone else just has to buy in, like, and then Tesla bought in, and then like it's like, well, if you're a car company, you gotta step up your game and compete. So you can't just let another company buy you on the marketplace and outperform you, because you know Bitcoin over the next 10 years is going to be again, the best performing asset of the decade. Like literally nothing will outperform Bitcoin. So if you're short Bitcoin, you're not in a good position at all. And time is drastically running out to buy in. Like I know a lot of people say like, oh, you won't, like, it doesn't matter when you buy in. If you buy in at 30K or 60K, like when we're at a million, you won't care. It's like, no. I understand where you're coming from, but when you're actually competing as a corporation on the marketplace, you want as cheap as Bitcoin as you possibly can get. And I guarantee you a lot of them are scrambling to get them because they have to go through a whole process. It's not like they can just buy it straight away. They have to, you know, clear it with other people and stuff. Like even MicroStrategy said it took them like 3 months to end up buying. And, if other companies follow suit, then 3 months from the Bitcoin for Corporations conference, we should start seeing a rapid, in my opinion, I'm just speculating here, but a rapid domino effect of companies just buying more and more and more Bitcoin. I mean, Tesla did it pretty quick, so I don't know when they started looking into it, but who knows?
Bullish. So I mean I guess this news is just from Square said they added, I think it was up to 5% of their reserves in Bitcoin. Chad Saylor is bought another, I don't know, 320 Bitcoins. So what's up, Nick?
I saw something on Twitter, and I didn't verify if it was true or not, but it was like an account. It wasn't Zero Hedge, but it was one of those just tweets in all caps and announces news with like no links to them, and everyone just believes them. But they said that Square was getting ready to sell 1.5 billion in senior convertible notes literally just as MicroStrategy did to buy more Bitcoin. Did anyone see that and can confirm it?
I can't confirm, but I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so if that is true, that's just another company speculative attacking the dollar and speeding up hyper-Bitcoinization. I don't see how you cannot be extremely bullish right now.
Yeah, and even you brought it up last night that Coinbase filed for their IPO. So I don't know. Do you want to put a little 2 cents on that one? Because like it seems to be happening. Even though he was talking shit on Coinbase, I guess it's kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal, and I fucking hate Coinbase. I will never recommend use them, but it is a big deal having a company as big as them go public, even though they don't hold nearly as much Bitcoin as you would have expected them to, because they had to release all their details the other week when they filed for it. And I don't remember exactly how much you said they owned, but it was not as much as you would think they would. But yeah, like Spitfire just said in the chat, $4.3 billion a year in revenue, like that's a fucking shit ton. And their stock is probably just going to skyrocket like over the next 3 years as well. I don't think it definitely will not outperform Bitcoin, obviously, but it's going
to
be.
Do we know the
well.
Strike price yet? Does anyone know or heard rumors of what it's supposed to be?
I have no idea. But Nick, the convertible notes was Twitter for $1.25 billion. Someone just put it in the chat. So we don't know what it's for, but it seems like they're doing the MicroStrategy playbook.
Oh, yeah. And one more thing I wanted to touch on that we were talking about last night is you got to look at what these people are doing. They're going like these are millionaires and billionaires. In some companies like BlackRock who hold trillions in assets, like they're all getting into Bitcoin. Don't be someone who doesn't get into Bitcoin because your idiot friend said that it uses too much energy. You know, like follow the money, follow what rich people are doing and you'll profit.
Yeah. Well, Nick, that's why we brought it up last night is because we were talking about all this institutional money coming in and then we were joking to ourselves, but our friends are still like, no, Bitcoin's too risky, or, you know, all these stupid FUD lines. And we're like, dude, like the biggest company in the world or at least in the States are buying Bitcoin, and around the world, all these big money's buying Bitcoin. But like, our normie friend, like, nah, I don't think it's safe for me to buy Bitcoin. It's like, dude.
I have, and Shishi knows him too. I think he's new here, but I have this friend. He works at.
Yep.
he works at Goldman, dude. And Shishi, we and Max also, and we have another friend, Max, and you know he works for that same type of industry, and man. They refuse to understand Bitcoin. Like, they're going to be the last ones in. And I think it's, like, for two reasons. For them, like, thinking that they're, like, part of the financial elite. And number two, bro, I don't know. I don't think they could swallow. Bro, it completely, radically changes their worldview. You know? So, man, whatever. They're going to have fun staying poor, I guess, if they don't
job. Buy. It eradicates their job, Nico.
I guess that's true.
There's old money, too, that doesn't want to bother understanding it. They're going to die before they ever adopt it.
I'm more bullish on the mom-and-pop pizza shops raking in $300,000, putting it on their balance sheets all over America, all over, you know, just everywhere, man. Like, Latin America, just, like, people losing faith in their institutions is, like, never fun, but at least there's an option, right? So, you know, you just never, I think like the bullish points are like even less obvious and even more powerful than just like a few elites, even though those guys are obviously, you know, they set the standard. But Chad Saylor, like you said, he's doing it with the corporatists, but I find it interesting for, you know, a friend of mine who's starting a business, like, hey man, just start on the Bitcoin standard and just move any excess cash that's not going into your business into Bitcoin, because like, why not? And they go, yeah, exactly, why not? You know, all of a sudden send them a Gemini referral code, boom, I see the 10 bucks hit, and I'm like, oh, they started, right? So you can actually like see your impact on like a few 10 buck, you know, little sat distributions. And it just like Nico said, like people are threatened by it, and that's why you should buy more.
I think that's a great subject to touch on, because as a small business owner, like I want to do that all day long, but I can't for certain reasons. Like I've actually had my Bank of America account like shut down because I was doing payments in Bitcoin, and I had to go in and actually like talk to them and talk to a representative and go through the whole process of unlocking the account and freezing them, explaining that I wasn't money laundering or, you know, multiple business bank, you know, whatever the fuck they were doing. But I explained to them that I would use it for coding projects, and that was kind of it. And they, you know, let me do my thing. But shortly after, you know, these exchanges or any places that you had linked to bank accounts that were business bank accounts, they were removed, and you can't even link them. So you do have to have some type of workaround to, you know, take that excess cash or money somehow and convert it into Bitcoin.
Brother, if I can give you one advice, is to move to a smaller bank where they know your name. I closed my Bank of America accounts the first month that I opened them. So that's just an advice that an old head gave me, and it served me well. I actually put Bitcoin in my mortgage application with a big bank to see if it would get rejected. I literally risked it all, and I got approved, and I just started laughing because I was just like, I feel like, you know, if I did that in 2015, I would have got rejected. But during COVID, you know, I end up, you know, getting a mortgage approved, let's say, and I actually sent it to another bank, and they didn't red flag me at all either. So, you know, times are changing. Switch to smaller bank stuff for sure.
Well, I just got a fold card. That's one.
Let's go. Me too, dude.
Guys, I'm still waiting. I'm like, I'm so close. It's just a wrecked pleb over here.
Hey, man. Did anyone look into the announcement of Square Optimus, offering me banking services? I'll
bump you up the list if you want.
Oh, for sure, Alex. Come again, Antonio?
Did anyone look into Square launching like a new banking services platform? Did you guys see that come out this week?
Yeah, I saw that news, but I didn't fully look into it. But it's definitely bullish for Square customers, and I'm guessing for Bitcoiners as well, because you know, Cash App has been pretty bullish on Bitcoin, and so I could only imagine what the Square Bank will do with Bitcoin. Maybe we're going into the territory that CB was talking about. So I definitely saw that, and it was definitely bullish in my opinion.
Yeah.
How long before Shopify does it?
Man, hopefully soon, because that'd be lit. I mean, Shopify, you can already use BTC Pay. There's like a workaround for using BTC Pay with Shopify. It's not as easy as like the WordPress link, but I know like TFTC does it. And so you can definitely have a Shopify site today with BTC Pay integrated, but if they could do something easier for all their users, then that would be really, really dope in my opinion. And even further, wasn't this week where we saw that Twitter is going to try to monetize content and stuff? So I mean, if they integrated Lightning into that, like that would be super dope. But I'm pretty sure they'll still be using credit cards. It's still yet to be seen, but it's like, it's all the pieces are adding up, guys. I mean, I was pretty bullish at the start of the show when Nico was telling us all that bullish news, and now I'm like even more bullish, so let's go.
I didn't even hear the bullish news, so if Nico wants to drop some super hot fire, like, I'm not going to stop him.
Maybe that's off-air stuff. Who knows? We'll have to come back to this one and be like, Nico was right.
Let's just go over some stats. All right, let's just go over some stats, and the stats will make you bullish as fuck, right? So, worldwide, dude, there's only 57 million millionaires. Sorry, 47 million millionaires.
In the whole world.
Right? Whole world. 47 million. Wait, I might have my numbers off a little bit, but hold on. Number of millionaires. Just, okay, in the U.S.
Yeah, I was going to say, that seems a little low. But right, still, okay, still so, even more so bullish. Even more bullish.
There's 15 million millionaire households in the U.S., right? There's only 21 million Bitcoins, right? So if you add how many millionaires there are in the U.S. with how many millionaires there are throughout the world, it's more than the total supply of Bitcoin. So if you have one Bitcoin, dude, you're going to be in the top 1% of in the next 5-10 years. Like, guaranteed. If Bitcoin goes where we think it's going, right? That's why I'm fucking bullish, bro. And it's crazy because, bro, and I've been wearing the I told you so sweater on the show that me and Phil do. Dude, we spent Optimus, how many years, bro? Like 3 or 4, like we 2 or 3 years, like just fucking telling everybody, like, yo, buy Bitcoin, yeah. buy Bitcoin. And that was their last opportunity to buy. Guys, like, I don't think you understand. If you have Bitcoin right now, it would take the average American 1 year, if he didn't pay taxes, if he didn't pay for living expenses, it would, if he didn't have to pay for any of that, it would still take him at least a year to buy one Bitcoin. Dude, like, that's why I'm freaking bullish, man. And I heard it down in the pipeline of some inside sources that Coinbase right now has 4 Fortune 500 companies that have bought Bitcoin already, right? So, like, I don't think you guys comprehend what's about to come, what's about to freaking hit us. Like, the wall, and this is not my words again, I'm just quoting. The wall of money, that was Ross Stevens when he was on the Michael Saylor conference in the Bitcoin for Corporations. And Ross Stevens literally said, there's a wall of institutional money flooding in like they have never seen before. It's going to be fucking, it's going to, like, I laugh just picturing Bitcoin Twitter in, you know, May, June, July of this year. Like, everyone's going to be fucking going crazy, dude. Because, like, man, that's where it's going. Like, look, no one knows the future, right? No one knows. But that's where it looks it's going, right? And, man, we were vindicated. We were right. We've been saying this was going to happen for years, bro. And no one fucking listened. Everyone was indifferent. Everyone was like, bro, it's not backed by anything. It's too expensive.
Life was too good.
Man, but yeah, dude, this is gonna be fucking crazy. This is gonna be insane. I'm so ready. It's gonna be sick. Bitcoin 2021. It's gonna be awesome. I convinced Shishi to come with me. He's, by the way, Optimus. He's the dude that founded BitVault with me. So he's he's like an OG. But he's gonna come to Bitcoin 2021, and bro, that thing is gonna be fucking crazy.
I'm more bullish now than ever. Nick Stats, I told Nico Stats today to a banker, and he said, "Well, Sharon, I think I'm gonna have to research tonight, actually." And I was like, "Yeah, I think you should." And it was just funny because it's just like when you frame it in that way, and they're like, "Well, I know a lot of millionaires at my bank." Well, I'm going to be ahead of them for the first time, let's say, maybe, you know? And so it's just funny, man. It's just like the average person really is. I'm even more bullish now just listening to Nico for 5 minutes. I mean, I thought I was bullish before this, but first time in Bitcoin kindergarten and it's effective.
Yeah, I was going to say, welcome to Bitcoin kindergarten when Nico gets a solid rant in. We're all just like, yeah!
I've known him for like 18 years, man. I know. He's a good one.
Well, now he's in his element. He's in his element right now. Winikus, did you want to get what we know you're about to get off right now?
I just wanted to to go off on some of those stats that Nico was talking about, he said there's 21 million Bitcoin, but not all of them have been mined yet. That's number one. And there's a bunch of them that have been lost, assumed to be like 2 to 6 million. So what I'm trying to say is let's go.
Let's go. Bullish.
And there's people who own a lot more Bitcoin. I mean, there's this dude, you know, Michael Saylor. Michael Saylor's bought up a lot of Bitcoin, and there's not enough. There's not enough for everyone to own one.
Man, dude. Bruh. I'm not ready, guys. I'm going to be honest. I'm not ready for this. I've been trying to prepare. I don't think any of us are ready for this.
No one's ready. Fucking ready, dude.
I'm ready.
No one's fucking ready, dude.
I'm
dude,
ready.
I look.
I got my Astro Glide and my napkins. I'm fucking so ready. Dude.
Oh, man. I can't fucking believe it, bro. Like, I can't believe, I'm still in shock, dude. What the fuck? Like, bro, I can't believe fucking Bitcoin. Remember 2017 when the price of Bitcoin hit 20K? It, like, touched 20K. No, bro. We're sitting pretty. Like, this is probably the bottom. This is probably the bottom of the next bear market. Like, this is the minimal bottom. Like, this is the lowest of the low. You know, like, that. Like, that's how strong Bitcoin looks right now at 50K.
Yeah,
no,
are we
not
even having
another
bear market?
Yeah, ooh, I love how dude, we just like 10x'd this year, and everyone's like, "Yo, I'm ready." We're nuts.
And this isn't even, guys. We're not even in a bear market. We just had a correction, and it's like this is still gonna go. And shouts out to Coin Icarus right now. Because I was listening to your Der Gigi and your talk this morning because Jessifer was like, guys, you guys need to listen to this podcast. So everyone go listen to the recent Coin Icarus and Der Gigi podcast because they're talking about exactly this, that bear markets are brutal, but bull markets can make you go just as crazy. And like we're all joking that we're ready and most of the people in here have been preparing for this and we're still like, we're not even ready. Like Nick's already losing his goddamn mind on Twitter. He's like a freaking animal over there. So I can only imagine what he's going to be in a few months.
Bull market Nick different.
Bull market Nick is way different, dude. Man. All right, but, guys. Go Nick. Shoot it.
The one thing that I used to be someone who was like, oh, we're definitely going to have another 80%. And I think it depends on what price we go to. Like if we go to 100 or 200K, there's no way we have an 80% drop. Like maybe even 250 or 300K, I just can't see 80% drop. And that's just because of the new people who are coming into the market. Because in previous cycles, it was just retail. But now it's literally billionaires and companies who own trillions in assets. It's like, I really like how Michael Saylor says, like, you know, nothing up until this point matters anymore. Like, all your models are destroyed because there's just new shit that's made this market way different. And I mean, it's going to get super volatile and we're definitely going to have big drops, but like a huge 80% correction, like what we did, I don't know if this is exactly 80%, but like the 20K to 3K, we won't have another big drop like that again. Like, I mean, I don't know. If we do, I'll stand corrected, but.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? If we do, what do? You buy the fucking dip.
Yes, sir.
Exactly.
That's goddamn right.
Dude, yeah, I was thinking about it the other day, and if this shit is like $1 million, I feel like I'd still be buying every day.
Yeah.
What else are you going to save in, guys? Like, that's what I tell everyone. It's like, once
we're
you
already
get
treating it like we should be treating it 20 years from now.
Yeah, exactly, dude. It's like, what, there's nothing else to be holding. It's so like,
no.
You, what are you going to do? You're going to stop saving in Bitcoin and start saving in cash? Like, it just makes no sense. It doesn't even matter what the Bitcoin price is. It's the only thing that you can save in. So it's like where most of us will be buying, even though it's going to hurt, like, you know, it hurt from going from 3 to 5K to like 50K, or, you know, the first couple of days where you're like, oh my God. Like when I first realized, like, you know, putting a couple hundred bucks in doesn't even get you a million sats anymore, you're like, oh my God, this kind of hurts, dude. But in the future, it's like, there's nothing to save in. This is the only thing to save in. So, you know, like, you're going to still be buying Bitcoin. Like, I know for a fact you'll still be buying Bitcoin until probably like you're old and gray, dude. It's, I don't know. That's just how I look at it, to be honest.
That's why it forces you to be more productive. It's like an economic engine. You're like, look, I need to make in $200 now to buy more sats, right? You can have that mentality where it's like a sort of race for you to have enough Bitcoin for you to just relax. So your retirement now is how much Bitcoin you have. And I feel like we're not even going to be buying it. You should just have a business that's running, that's just flipping it directly into Bitcoin. Not even paying attention.
I feel like I'm running off of the deck of a sinking Titanic, trying to snag all the life rafts.
Exactly. Exactly.
People still aren't grabbing these? Fine, I'll take 5.
You guys are awesome. I'm out, though. You guys are awesome. Thanks for the fucking show.
No worries, dude. Come back and join us. You added a lot of value to the show, so you're definitely welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed everything, and I haven't seen anything like his comments before in any of our past gatherings.
Right?
First time. Thanks, guys.
There we go. Coming in hot. I'm just fucking... Yeah, we just got a bunch of idiot memers over here. Oh,
watch it. They're going to Matrix.
Feels just mad he is a meme now.
Oh, man. Right? Man.
Yeah, Optimus, you better watch out. I said one thing to Sean the other week, and, like, in the space of 10 minutes, he had flooded my mention with porn memes.
I know. I think I got caught up in that crossfire, too. I was actually dying, yeah. So I don't know. I'm with it.
Yo, shout out to memes.
Right? And the memers. You guys are holding it down right now. That's what's up.
I appreciate that, man. It's a lot of hard work that goes into making those bitches.
I know, dude. I can tell. It's a lot of hard work pulling a bunch of thick, thick girls and you know.
He does extensive research when he goes into
making. Extensive research, looking at porno to get the right meme, dude. I mean, more power to you.
No, Labradoodle doesn't love the
Let me be clear, that's Labra.
Let me be absolutely clear. And, well, Sean is kind of taking his place with the amount of porn freeze frames he's coming up with for everybody. And really the winner that comes out of left field all the time is GG. GG pops up with fucking porn memes that you would never know existed.
Nick said that exact thing last night, dude. He literally said that exact thing.
Dude, he's so good. He's got this one where it's a lady giving a blowjob, but it's cut off like at her mouth, so you can touch the skirts. And he keeps putting it on people's heads. I don't know if you saw him do it like 2 weeks ago in the Udi dropped his laser eyes, and he was like, whatever, I'm over it. And somebody posted a picture of him, like, bald. So I sent it over to GG. I was like, please do it. Please do it. It was the funniest shit I've ever seen.
Oh, man. I think I missed that one, but I'll have to go look for that. No, that's hilarious.
I'm going to find it, and I'm going to post it in the chat. I'll show that.
That sounds absolutely hilarious. Oh, man. All right, well, before we get too caught up in the degenerate stuff, there's a few news worthy things that happened last week that Nick and Jesper and I thought we could at least highlight, and that was that there was a lot of Bitcoin fund development last last week. There's a lot of grants given out, and some of them were by Chad Saylor, some of them were by Bull Bitcoin and Wasabi, and some of them were from the Human Rights Foundation. So I think it's really cool to see that not only is the price going up and the community, quote unquote community, going wild on Twitter and enjoying, you know, the festivities and basically just like being moral support, but that the Bitcoin, you know, core developers and other developers in the space are getting paid for the hard work they're putting in. So that was pretty dope to see. And then one thing that I saw this morning, which, I thought it's a little bigger news that kind of went under the table, but the news about Bottle Pay not taking in coin joined Bitcoin transactions. So I think we talked about that a while back in the show, that this is probably going to be something that plays out, and it kind of sucks that it was Bottle Pay. That I guess they're probably getting hit with some regulatory stuff, but you know, it's gonna be something that we see into the future. So, you know, keep coin joining them coins and making sure that, you know, we just tell them to fuck off and we, you know, privacy's right and all that good stuff. So I don't know, Nick, do you got some more stuff? Oh, Jestifer?
Yeah, on that Bitcoin Development Fund, I mean, I just love to see that because it's just showing again like the aligned incentives that go on with Bitcoin, because now we've got all these institutional buyers, you know, with you know, tons of cash that they're turning into Bitcoin, but then they're realizing like, hey, like if I actually contribute towards developing on Bitcoin, we can build out this network, and the asset that I've purchased with like my corporate funds is actually going to be more valuable. We're just adding value to it. Just like we're just developing this property. It's like kind of like digital real estate, as Surfer Jim, you know, discussed in his presentation. So just, you know, as we build up this network, we're just going to have a better and better digital asset to be the future money.
Let's go. Bullish. Kindergarten is rated R tonight.
Why do we like the Human Rights Foundation? They have such a fucking shitty record. They're like paired with the IMF.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, they got Alex Gladstein over there, and he's got a good perspective, so hopefully he can steer the ship really well over there. So yeah, I guess, like, you know, it's a little bittersweet, but I think it's Alex that's like directing most of that stuff, and he's got a pretty good grasp of what's going on. So bullish, and furthermore, they sponsored like a bunch of really good people, so that was really good to see.
Can I add to that?
Shoot it.
Specifically, I don't know if anybody's aware of a girl named Janine.
Yeah, exactly.
She puts out a lot of libertarian freedom related content. She does a ton of research. Very smart girl. And she's on Block Digest all the time if you want to hear her do verbal reporting on the stuff that she writes about. But it was good to see her get some funding, because she's like one of these under the radar, doesn't even own a phone kind of people. So yeah. It is good to see the Bitcoin community supporting the greater causes of liberty and freedom and sovereignty, you know, stuff like the Human Rights Foundation stands for, outside of specific developers that write code, because the entire ecosystem needs the support, you know. So I think it's great to see.
I'd agree with that, Jim, 100%.
That's the Bitcoin circular economy.
I know, the feedback loop of once you get in Bitcoin, you got to see what you can do for the space, for your money.
Make right, sure that's like what we're all here tonight doing, you know. None of us are getting paid. We're helping to push forward the narrative, produce content that brings value to somebody who's trying to understand this, this concept, this new money that's being adopted in real time all throughout humanity. It's pretty fascinating. You know, I'm listening to everybody talk the last half hour and whatever, I'm just considering this community of people, the excitement, enthusiasm all around this tool called money and this new form of it that humanity has available, and the fascination of watching the adoption and then knowing that we're early and that, excuse me, that we front ran millions of millionaires who haven't caught on yet, because there are people, like, you know, that it's been talked about that have way more than one Bitcoin, and not even every millionaire on the planet could have one if they all wanted one. There's only 21 million Bitcoin. If they all went out, we already know that's never going to happen. And there's more than 21 million millionaires. And a couple of us who aren't fiat millionaires, we, you know, some of us own more than one Bitcoin. And, you know, there's people out there that own thousands, including Chad Saylor, as we know. So it's pretty fascinating to see the camaraderie and the community developing around a free market money. It's not a sports team. It's not, I don't know. It's like when did people rally around a money? But it's here, it is happening. And you got people from all over the world and us misfits getting together on a Wednesday night to just bullshit about Bitcoin for a couple hours. It's pretty wild.
Bullish and beautiful. And of course, Jim comes with the perfect sobering thoughts after all our degenerate memes and Jessica saying kindergarten's rated R tonight. So beautiful, Jim. Hats off to you. Let me see what's going on over here. I think we hit the whole list. Let me see. Yeah, just the last thing that I have off here that we didn't touch is that our boy Gigi got a shout out by Jordan Peterson, and Jordan Peterson is seemingly falling down the rabbit hole and reading Alan Farrington's, I think that's his last name, right? His piece, Bitcoin is Venice, which was a great piece. He's been writing really epic articles. So personally, I'm very excited to see Jordan Peterson join us down the rabbit hole. I think his search for truth will be an asset to all of us thinkers and memers in the Bitcoin community. And you know, like, I love Gigi. I love his perspective and his philosophical rants. And like I said earlier, I was reading Bitcoin is Time, and just the fact that he can go from being an intellectual to a memer is just a beautiful thing to watch. So, you know, shouts out to all you guys out there that are pushing Bitcoin forward. But Nick, did you want to chime in and I don't know, wrap us up? We've been going for a little over an hour tonight.
Yeah, that's what I also love. I love people who are like the intellectual side of Bitcoin, but then they can also, you know, fuck around and meme with us. Like, I feel like there are a lot of Bitcoiners out there who try and, like, once they get a little bit of followers and, like, Twitter clout, they, like, you know, they try and protect their image so much, but then Gigi is, like, spitting facts one day, posting porn memes the other day. Like, he's a true pleb, you know? He just does what he likes, and I got mad respect for that. Because that's literally what you do. That's what I do. That's what everyone in this Discord chat does. And I respect it. And that's what I like to see. Just people being straight up real. I was talking with Pirate Beach Bum about it, and he was like, yeah, man, fuck the fakes. Like, just keeping it real. And that's like one of the most respectable things you can do. So
we should get those guys on here, both of them.
I was talking to Beach Bum, stay tuned.
Uh-oh.
Cool.
Wow.
Hey,
what's up, Jim?
Optimus, can I just add to what you were saying before about Jordan Peterson there?
Yeah, by all means.
We are starting to see a crossover of influential people in other communities that are catching on to Bitcoin and going on podcasts, interviewing or being interviewed by Bitcoiners. And I just listened to today Michael Gladstein and Dr. Sean Baker, who's a big carnivore advocate, who's, I don't know, he's 54 years old. He's still setting world records in lifting and rowing. The guy's like a, you know, he's like really built, and all he does is eat like 3 pounds of steak a day. And and so he's influential as not only a physician, but as a carnivore. Michael Goldstein's a carnivore, as many of you may know. And of course, very influential over the years in Bitcoin. And then Jordan Peterson's daughter, Michaela Peterson, also had on her podcast, I believe Saifedean on one, Michael Goldstein on another. And so we are starting to see a serious crossover, not just a curiosity thing, not, you know, some of these influential people get into quote unquote crypto instead of simply just Bitcoin. And then some see it clearly and are catching on to specifically Bitcoin as we know, the only thing that matters. And that's good to see because they have big reach and a lot of their followers will start to pay attention and they'll just start to be more and more crossover. I mean, you know, to say that we're early is kind of an understatement, even at 50,000 of Bitcoin. So many people are not involved in this yet that can be and eventually will be. And it's just great to see these serious people in other communities like health and Jordan Peterson psychology, well-known, well-respected, taking Bitcoin seriously and pushing the narrative forward into wider communities. It's just great to see. And we're just getting started, folks, for anybody hearing this.
Woo, let's go. Fire. Nothing but fire tonight, guys. So I think we'll wrap it up after that beautiful, eloquent wrap up by Jim. And yeah, guys, as I said before, this is episode 69. I guess it was pretty fitting since we went down a few rabbit holes. So shouts out to everyone out there listening. Shouts out to everyone that showed up tonight. I hope you guys had as much fun as I did. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Next week is going to be a fire episode. We got Denver Bitcoin coming in, talking about oil and gas and mining. So you do not want to miss that one. But without further ado, guys, have a good night. And we'll see you next week. Nick, you want to wrap us up?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, hold on. Hold on, Nick. We got Winekus coming in hot. Over under, guys. We've been on over under for 60K for a while. I'm gonna have to go over this time, dude. I feel it in my plums, dude. It's going to be over by next week.
Over.
I'm getting
y'all
some
know
ups.
The drill.
Y'all know the drill. It's illegal to be bearish now, guys. Come on.
Yeah, you gotta be over at this point.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, we're getting all overs in the chat. Thomas, Jennifer, Taint says over. Let's go. Everyone's saying over. All right, we ain't got no bears in here tonight. All right, wrap us up, Nick.
Yeah, thanks everyone for coming out this week. It was another good episode. I was talking in the DMs during this with Denver Bitcoin, and he seems really excited to come on and present to y'all. I sent him a screenshot of everyone in here, and he was pretty freaking excited about it. So really excited for next week.
Let's go. Bullish. All right, peace out, guys.